In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 80. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me tonight is Megamus.
Howdy.
Sideburn 2.
What's up, everybody?
And I am Unicron.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
So bilingual today. Just a little side note. It's
buy something.
Yeah, it's a little bit bisexual.
I'm drunk one time in college. It don't count. No, that's not true, by the way. I don't want people getting wrong.
A little side note. Insane Galvatron may join me here in my studio coming up here shortly. He was going to be in the area, and he informed me that he may drop by. So. If he does, just be prepared for that. Hope everybody's having a good week. Mine's starting off, as usual, kind of slow. I've been putting out applications at a bunch of places and, you know, doing the runaround. How about you guys? Unicron, how's your week going?
And I've been working every day from 5 to 6:30 p.m. every day, and I'm getting a little tired.
It happens.
Yeah.
I need a break.
I'll just be happy to get back in the workforce, but I'm not really happy about what I'm going to have to do. But, you know, hey, there's been a couple instances I've actually, even though I'm scared to death of it, I'm tempted to try to get my CDL back, but. You know, such as it is, you know, most of the jobs that job sites that I go to are actually, they're just looking for CDL drivers. And I'm like, I had one, but, you know, considering what happened to me, I doubt anybody will hire me. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
So, I don't think necessarily. We have a few trucks where I work at, and we do... We don't do over-the-road driving. We just do city, just with day cabs.
Yeah.
And that might be something you can get your feedback into.
Yeah, that's actually what I will do. I will not do over-the-road. If I ever do get my CDL back, I will not do over-the-road. Those long hours, even sleep, you don't get true sleep in the back of a cab. I mean, it's not very, it's not restful at all. And, you know, those of you who know truckers or even if you don't, you know, truckers are the backbone of our economy, of our nation. Yes. And I have the utmost respect, I did it for 10 years. So, but enough of that. Megamus, how's your week going?
So. It's just been slow. Been slow. You know, we've had the weather changing. So it's kind of made me, you know, sick and all that. So getting over that's one thing.
I've actually coughed less today. I know some listeners may be ready for
that'll
me to
be
stop.
A change.
Yeah. Everything. So what about you, Cyburn? How's your week going? Beginning your week.
Well, it's been a little bit over the weekend, moved to family friends. Back here to Orlando from a couple hours away. And on Saturday, me and my father went up there and we took everything and put it into the truck. And then Sunday, we took everything in the truck and put it into storage. And then yesterday, I had to drive back out and get a few odds and ends that were left in my truck and bring it back and put it in storage. So I was a bit pretty wore out from the weekend.
A little bit of lug this and tote that, huh?
Yeah. And then, you know, today, kind of boring day at work. I'm on a new project, and they're trying to get me into something I can do that's a little more exciting, but it takes some time. I had some fun on Sunday, and we'll talk about that, you know, a little bit later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do remember you stating something on the Facebook group about that.
I'm eating pizza, because your dinner ran late, mine ran later. It's ran into the podcast.
Yeah, that's, for those of you who are just now tuning in, we started about 5 minutes late because my dinner was running late, and it takes a while to get the podcast set up and get everybody on and mic checks and stuff. So we ran a little bit later. I think it was about 5 minutes, so not too bad. I guess we'll start our Ouch My Wallet segment. Ouch My Wallet is brought to you, as always, by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. Want to remind people also that we're just a few subscribers away, probably around somewhere between 5 and 8 subscribers away. And this is also brought to you by, provided by CapturedPrey.com, the Justice Iron Paw from Keith Fantasy Club. Approximate retail value, including shipping, is about $30. Once we reach our 100th subscriber on YouTube, we're going to go back and select one person who has subscribed to our YouTube channel, joined our Facebook group, and shared us on a social network or on a signature on a message board, which that is preferred. But if you've done those three things, one person is eligible to win this KFC Iron Paw. And this is made possible by CapturedPrey.com. So go ahead and get in there and subscribe. We're, like I said, we're probably about a week away from being able to select that winner. And really looking forward to this. I guess I'm Unicron. Have you got anything for the Ouch My Wallet this week?
Yes, I do, actually. I received the before and after Alpha and Omega launchers for the Masterpiece 17 and 18 Prowl and Blue Streak. Hmm. And they are pretty cool, I have to admit. They come with actually a little set of add-on stickers that you can put on and make them look more like his G1 self. And then they have the actual little missile launchers that come with it also. That I'm having difficulty opening up the back here. Okay. There we go. And the little missile launchers here, what they do is they just slip over the factory ones that come with it when you transform them in robot mode. They just slide over it. Real simple.
So they're kind of like the official Takara ones that was released for the Asia market. I got Prowl and Smokescreen, or I'm sorry, Prowl and Blue Streak, and I got one launcher apiece, but I use them both on Blue Streak. And what they basically do is how those two launchers come up over the shoulders, they just basically clip right over top of it. And everything. I assume they kind of like a hole in the back of it, or
yeah, they're actually hollow throughout the center of it. They're hollow. So let me get one off of here. See if I can get it to show on you.
That's what she said.
I don't have enough light in here, but what you can see is it actually just slides on it, and they are pretty neat. And you can actually fire them when you pull back on it. It'll make them fire. So let me see if I can get it to shoot here. And it didn't shoot that well, but
well, that's something actually, that the official one does not do.
They actually shoot, so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, the official one doesn't shoot. That's actually kind of cool. Makes it a little more worth it for those.
Yeah, so they're pretty neat. I like them. They're really really cool for a little add-on. It looks really nice with them on there.
Are they Dr. Wu or?
I don't know who makes them. It doesn't. It just says before and after, Alpha and Omega with decals. Hmm. It doesn't have a manufacturer on it. Hmm. And it comes with an instruction sheet for the stickers to apply to decals. But they're pretty neat. I like them. It really adds to the figure. It makes them look a lot more like their G1 cells.
Awesome.
And that's pretty much all I got this week.
So far.
Yeah, so far. I got other stuff ordered, just hadn't come in yet. So. Yeah.
Megamus, you said you didn't have anything this week?
No, but I figured what I was going to do today, talking to Plasticon about it, and he and I are really into these Kabaya kits. So what I did was I bought a lot at once, and so what I was going to do was put one together when we were sitting around the show, and people that think that they're too difficult or, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Since the podcast started, I got one of them done.
Huh. Which one is that now?
I think it's for it's for the Stunticons, so it would be either Breakdown or Wild Rider, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's one of them. Hmm. So figured I'd do that, and just, you know, people that are, like I said, that are, you know, they've never done models, this, that, and the other. Little X-Acto knife, and that's all I've used.
Now, whenever you're putting your Kabayas together, I know they don't generally come with, like, glue or anything like that, and some parts just glue, basically peg on, but do you glue anything?
Or do you... I do, just because I'm not the guy that puts it on a shelf and leaves it there. Every once in a while, I want to, you know, play with it and transform it and this, that, and the other. And the friction on these is good, but just a little dab of glue here and there, and you'll know by looking at it what friction parts are and what parts are supposed to stay together. Just a little bit of glue and it's fine. Yeah, but no, you don't need any glue.
One of my favorite Kabayas is the Death Source. I've actually got the Death Source, but I like hardly ever touch it because it falls apart. You know, I mean, like the head is just barely on the little peg. I have also have a Star Saber too, I believe, from a couple years back, and that thing is just a mess. I mean, it's in pieces in a box in my closet.
I have two Death Sources. I went ahead and bought two, so I got them in each mode, and I can transform them fine.
He's okay. I mean, he could use some glue in a couple spots, but
I did absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because just by transforming it, those parts are going to separate a little bit. Mm-hmm.
So. Mainly, I think like the chest part, you know, where it comes apart. But I mean, I love the fact that it's got the two breast masters, and that thing's really awesome.
Yeah, the only thing that I can't stand about these Kabaya kits, and I really wish they would put a little more effort into it.
The gum? Oh yeah, the stickers.
I love the gum. I do. I'm probably the only one. I love that gum. But these stickers, they just if the figure sits there long enough and it's like wrapped around the face. It'll start spreading out. It'll try to return to a flat state.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't stick very well. But once again, if you want a little bit of super glue on the back of it, fixes it right up.
Pretty cool. So Sideburn 2, how's your Ouch My Wallet? What made your wallet say ouch? I know you alluded to it earlier.
Well, I can't remember if it was on the podcast or if it was before or after when we usually just hang out, but Plasticon was telling me I needed to come out to Acme Superstore, which is a comic store that's local. It's about 30 minutes from my house, from where I live. And he was telling me, you know, they got Beast Wars and G1 and everything I can imagine. So on Sunday, I planned on trying to make it out there in the evening, and I got there around 4, and we didn't know it would close at 5, but the first thing he did when I got in there is he comes up to me and says, "You got to come back here before you see everything else. Your eyes are going to pop out." So he drags me back there, and there's like three or four bins of Transformers, parts and stuff, and basically he's got some pulled out.
And stuff.
Well, not even junkers. It's just
stuff they haven't gone through yet.
Yeah, stuff they haven't gone through yet, and he's pulling stuff out and piecing stuff together. I think he almost pieced together a complete G1 Devastator that he was trying to get me to buy.
Oh, you must.
I didn't have the money.
I
expected that they wouldn't let that go for cheap.
How much were they asking for it?
Well, there was no price, but, it was, it's 6 bots, and it's vintage, and,
depending on condition, you're looking at anywhere between probably
75 to... They were pretty good condition. He says you can get them pretty cheap when you're buying them like that from the parts bins.
Yeah. Well, the reissue is, in my opinion, killed the market on the old. I mean, you can still, and Megamus can probably jump in on this too. I mean,
I'm waiting.
The vintage has the, it's vintage, but I mean, if you can go get a brand spanking new reissue, especially like the anime accurate colors for just about $100, I wouldn't expect to pay more than that for the vintage. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense.
I might see about it later on. There was no shortage of Devastator bits in those boxes. But there was a ton of stuff. It was like, digging through bins of Transformers. He was throwing everything at me. He was like, "Oh, here's a complete Twin Twist," or "Here's an Erector."
You didn't get Twin Twist?
No, because I found some Beast Wars figures I wanted.
Oh, you gotta get Twin Twist. You can spare a buck.
Yeah. Well, I was
Twin Twist.
I'll go back. So we'll see. There was a few things there that I would have bought if I had my money. But during that time, I managed to piece together. He's only missing one leg. A Man-Terror. From Beast Wars, and I always wanted this guy. It turns into a praying mantis. He's featured heavily in the Beast Wars The Gathering comics, and he's just really cool. I like bug formers. And
he happened to be the hardest carded figure for Beast Wars for me to find.
Oh yeah?
Man-Terra. He was just very hard to find.
You can find him pretty cheap, loose, but yeah. I don't think I've ever really seen carded ones on eBay.
Yeah, that for some reason that one's just it was one of the last ones for me to find.
Yeah, I originally when I bought him, I thought he was complete, and then I realized when I went to the counter, I realized he was missing one of the legs.
So it might have actually been in the box.
It's probably back. It's probably there at still at Acme, but they were closing down and kind of hustling, rushing us out, so I might try to see if that leg's there next time I go back. And then I also managed to get Silver Bolt. And you might think, well, you're a Beast Wars fan, you didn't have a Silver Bolt. Well, I used to, but I played with him a lot and I broke him. That was a kid.
He was loved.
So he's only missing one Feather Missile. I managed to find one of them in the bins. And he's in pretty good condition. And so I was really, I was glad to be able to find that and get him. I got all these for $10. And actually,
combined?
No, each.
Oh, I was starting to say, wow, which isn't bad.
If I buy the parts that are missing, I can still get these under, eBay value.
Yeah.
And actually with Silverbolt, I had went to Walmart and bought the 2-pack with the black Beast Hunters Bumblebee and that baby blue, powder blue dragon. For Plasticon, because he wanted the black Bumblebee, so he actually paid me back with the Silverbolt. And then the last thing is I got another Beast Wars Bone Crusher.
Ooh.
I always wanted this guy. I always liked the Buffalo, and he's big and bulky, and the only thing he's missing is the missile he fires out of his mouth.
Have you seen the Japanese version of him?
Yeah, Big Moss, or not Big Moss,
I can't remember the name, but I mean, it's got the red parts instead of the white.
Yeah, it's not.
I liked it. I thought it, I like the color scheme better.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I know his name, and now it totally escapes me because I messed myself up saying Big Moss.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Bison.
But I always wanted Manterror and Bonecrush were always two that I really wanted, and so when I saw them and they were missing only a single piece between, each. I couldn't not walk out of there with them. Because, how often do you get to go to the store and buy your favorite, Summit toys from your childhood? It's not, it's not very often.
Oh, that's the feeling you get anytime you go to a convention and everything. Your eyes are always bigger than your wallet.
Yeah, there was a Beast Wars Megatron there that was missing the water squirter and the missiles, but I probably would have bought him if I, knew I could have gotten it for cheap. And the problem was apparently the guy who knows Transformers better and he's also more lenient with the price wasn't there. And the other guy doesn't really know Transformers, and he wasn't haggling as much. So, I tried to get these for $25, but he was like, I'm thinking more $30. And so,
there he is. Got two of them.
Yeah. Well,
the question is, we were sure that when we lose you, we don't go live anymore, do we?
Yeah, we're still live.
Oh, we are now. But when we were talking, you weren't there.
No. Yeah.
That part didn't make it.
Yeah. That part probably did not make it live. So
that's good because we were talking so much smack about you.
Yeah.
Lord, I bet you heard.
I'm so glad that didn't record.
Yes.
Man. The
pitfalls of live broadcasting.
No, I said, Durham, do you have anything? And I looked over and you were frozen just in awe.
I think you froze again already.
No, I'm still here.
Now he really is in awe.
He was so amazed by the Beast Wars figures.
He was.
Yes.
Hey, don't let anyone tell him that he's not a Beast Wars fan.
I do apologize for the technical difficulties, but I think part of it is my internet connection. It absolutely blows. And just so you know, AT&T is my internet provider. So that, you know, just goes to show you what kind of service they provide. Well,
their phone service.
Yeah. I actually talked about this on the last episode of TFYLP, and I said I was saving it for a rainy day. Well, I got bored this weekend and went ahead and opened my Prime RID Ultra Magnus, and I mean he's just a remold and redeco of Prime, but I really like this figure, especially the pylons they added on the shoulders. And the fact that you can clip the missiles on there, kind of like G1 Magnus, I really like that aspect of it.
He's got an amazing amount of color on him too, for you know a modern figure.
Yeah,
they like to be skimp with colors.
Yeah, I mean compare this guy to the Platinum Edition, and the Platinum Edition looks utterly plain. Yeah. I mean,
there's no comparison.
God awful. I believe listener Luther Winborn, shout out to him. He posted some pictures on the Facebook group of some custom paint that he applied to a Magnus. I believe it's some black paint in some areas to kind of make it like a Nemesis Magnus, and it looked really nice. I liked it. But as it is, I mean, it's a pretty good mold. You know, for Prime RID stuff. That's my two cents on it.
Yeah, I really liked that. That Optimus mold. It might not have. You know, I never had experience with the first edition mold, but it wasn't a bad figure. The only thing wrong with it was that it came with, you know, that crappy gun instead of a real gun.
Oh, I like the fact of this. Now it comes with a wing jetpack. I actually just left that in the box. I think it looks stupid clipped onto the back. But I like how the Hammer of Solace or whatever it's called, it can peg into the fifth wheel in truck mode, and it's actually kind of stores away nicely. But
cool. I'll tell you what, he looks a whole lot better than that first one that they made. That was a, I'm sorry, that was an awful toy.
Which one was it? Was it Deluxe or?
No, Voyager Magnus, Ultra Magnus.
From the, it's from just the Prime line.
Yeah, the Prime line.
He turned into a missile truck.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Floppy shoulders.
Yes. I mean, that new mold looks really, really good. Our remold of Optimus is really good looking figure.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah, at least blue and not white.
Yeah. But yeah, I went ahead and opened him, and I still got some stuff on the way. I mean, I know I'm still expecting the Fans Project three bots for the Glacial Lord. I'm still expecting those.
I'll be quiet
whenever they quiet finally about ship. That thing.
I yeah. saw.
I didn't get it.
A review of what Mega Zero, I think, and that kind of sold me on the whole entire thing. I kind of really want it now.
Well, they have announced on Fans Project Core that they are offering the figures again later this coming year, so they will be available again. Just kind of plan for it. It's not all that expensive. I think for the whole combiner, it's probably less than $150. Shipped, maybe a little bit more. But, you know, just kind of set that aside, and whenever it pops up there, order it. I mean, it's well worth it. I mean, just from the first two figures, Rail Spike and Tail Club, or not Rail Spike, but Tail Spike. Yeah. Yeah, it's or Fangro and Tail Club. Sorry. I am so sold on that figure. And somebody pointed out on one of the message boards that it goes really well up against, was it Neo? God Neptune.
God Neptune.
And I think it is a good nemesis for him. But unless anybody else has anything further for Ouch My Wallet.
No, but just in case anyone's keeping track, two down.
That looked like an air raid from the aerial bots.
It is. It is. I can't remember which is in which box, so I'm just opening them up at random. And well, they are I'm not putting the stickers on them because they actually come with two sets of stickers depending on who you want them to be. So
aren't they blind pack
which
too?
Ones I've already done. Huh?
Aren't they blind pack too?
Yes. Yes. So there's I guess they consider chase figures in different alternate colors.
Yeah. Well, Ouch My Wallet has been brought to you by CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com. I know there was something the other day I saw that just came into stock. I believe it was Smart Robin. They're still available up there. And the pictures I've seen of Smart Robin looks amazing. And I believe it's right around $70. Check out Capture Prey for Smart Robin. Our discussion topic tonight is a topic that can tend to touch just about every collector. I know it's touched me in some form or another. Just about.
That's what she said.
At least, yes. It touched me gently and touched me in places that
I was
made
just
me feel kind of special.
It was the first time he's been touched.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seems like about once a month I run into some kind of thing where I'm having to deal with it as a collector. And I know we're each one of us has had some kind of experience with this. But, you know, dealing with friends and family and spouses as a collector, you know, I posted a video last night. Well, it was supposed to have been for yesterday, but YouTube was not being forthcoming, and it actually didn't post until early this morning. But, you know, we've all had that instance of going into a store as a collector, and you know, you're either standing there looking at the toys and somebody walks by and kind of gives you that look, or more often than not, you go through the checkout line and there's a cashier that will ask you if you're buying these for your son, and you're like, no, I'm buying them for me. And then they kind of look at you like, you know, like you're some kind of weirdo. You know, we've all experienced it at least once as a collector. And there's ways to handle it, and I think new collectors and young collectors will really benefit from hearing us as older collectors and our experiences and our ways of dealing with it. And also, I know Megamus actually wanted to talk a little bit about something further beyond dealing with spouses and stuff that may not approve. We actually will talk a little bit later about spouses that actually do approve of our collecting and everything, and expound upon that a little bit more. Unicron, though, you got any experiences that you might want to share with us?
I know when I first started getting back into collecting, and you do go to the stores, and especially when you're by yourself at the store, people do tend to look at you. They're like, especially me, I'm a big dude. I mean, that's why I use Unicron. And when they see that big old guy over there in the little kid's store, it's like, the hell is wrong with that dude? But, I mean, it's something that don't let it stop you from enjoying what you do and collecting or anything. You know, it's nothing, you know, when you go in there, just... you're enjoying yourself. You collect toys. There's nothing wrong with that at all, and just enjoy it. You know.
Well, that's the point that I've tried to bring across in the TFYLP minute for January 13th. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, really you shouldn't let anybody stop you from enjoying your hobby, or even detract from it by giving you some kind of negative feedback. You know, we are grown men and women. I know there's women that collect too. we are grown men and women, and we collect toys that are meant for children. The target audience is children, unless you know you count third party, which you know they're clearly for adults because you know on the packaging, I mean, it says 16 and up, and you know the there's things on some third party figures that that are just not safe for children. You know, a lot of pointy objects on it and everything, but you know, as adults, you know, we like what we like. Everybody has something that they like and something that they're a fan of. And, you know, going into a store and hearing somebody poke fun at you, I mean, it's no different than, you know, when you were kids, somebody poking fun at you like me. I mean, I got made fun of for being fat a lot as a kid. And, you know, you learn to roll with it. I mean, it does affect you in some ways, but you just got to learn to not let it affect you. I didn't want to cut you off, but I just wanted to kind of expound on that a little bit more.
Oh no, it's fine, man. It's just something that we have to deal with as collectors, you know. I think, especially, I noticed a real big difference when the movies came out. If you were a collector before the movies, people did tend to look at you a little bit more. And then after the movies, I think you'd see other people in there buying stuff too, you know. So I think it made it a little bit more maybe mainstream, I guess you can call it.
Well, especially with Transformers. I know, yeah. G.I. Joe's, there's a lot of adult collectors out there of Joe's before the Transformers. And, you know, they tended to get laughed at too. I mean, just as much as any collector. Is there any other experiences that you've had, maybe with friends or coworkers?
Yes, actually, I go with. I mean, everybody that works with me know I collect Transformers. I have them in my office. I'm sitting on my desk, and you know they're curious about it, and they'll ask me questions about it, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I've gotten a few of actually my coworkers into collecting now and being a lot more interested into Transformers and what they ever were. And, you know, we'll get to talking about it, and it's great. You know, I really enjoy it. And it's similar with my family. Like, me and my wife will go or take my daughter with us and shopping and something. They get into it also, and, you know, it's just all around. It's a really enjoyable experience, especially if you have friends and family that support you. It makes it all the better of an experience.
Yeah, that is true. You know, especially like what you said, a supportive person who is important. You know, like spouses. You know, I know my first wife. She was always supportive of my hobby. But she actually was somewhat of a fan herself, but not so much as a collector. I mean, she didn't like pick them up and mess with them, but she did like to watch the movies and the cartoons and everything with me. She knew the characters. My wife now, she gets the fact that I'm a collector, but not, you know, she is not a fan at all. I mean, she likes the live action movies. To her, the cartoons are stupid and childish. You know, she kind of looks at me funny every time I watch them. You know, I have to deal with that, you know. She absolutely detests it whenever I stick in the Japanese Headmasters, Victory, or Master Force set because they're all in Japanese. And she absolutely hates it. You know, she's like, why are you watching that? You know. But other than that, she's supportive. And it's really helpful. The only time that she's not really supportive, especially over this last year, you know, given my circumstances, and longtime listeners will know those circumstances, you know, our money has been really, really tight. And what I've been able to obtain over the last year, I had to stick to a strict budget and a strict, you know, if I cannot get it through trades, then I don't get it, you know, and bottom line, that's it. And, you know, I was able to pick up some great stuff. You know, Masterpiece Soundwave, and I got to thank Swage 66 for that. You know, I mean, he hooked me up, and you know, I was able to get a couple other third party items that way. You know, and truth be told, all year I've probably spent less than $300 total on toys, and that was all of 2013. So, you know, compared to previous years where I spent in the thousands easily, you know, that's mind-boggling. You know, my collection's not as big right now as I'd like it to be, but hey, you know, you got to do what you can do. But it's awesome also what you mentioned too about coworkers. You know, I know whenever I worked at a soda beverage bottler for the last 10 years, I was always the Transformer dude. You know, everybody is always like pointing at me, oh, you know, you talking about Transformers again? You know, yeah. You know, I mean, I
know the feeling.
I was, you know, I didn't go out of my way, and I didn't, you know, sit there and you know, ooh, you should see this Ultra Magnus figure that I bought. You know, I wasn't like that. You know, I might be sitting at the end of the day doing my paperwork, listening to an episode or something other on my phone, and somebody say, "What are you listening to or what you watching? Transformers?" Yeah. And they'd all get a good chuckle out of it. But I really didn't care because my hobby is not their hobby. Their hobbies are not mine. You know, a lot of them's talking about deer hunting. I could care less about deer hunting personally. You know, their passion for deer hunting is the passion that I have for collecting toys. You know, and, you know, I just don't let it bother me. A lot of my accounts that I actually serviced with that beverage bottler, a lot of them knew that I was a Transformer collector. And a couple of them actually, they weren't Transformer collectors themselves, but they collected something else. And, you know, there's times that we'd get in discussions, you know, while I was servicing their store, about, you know, collecting in general. And it was really cool, you know, to be able to talk to something, to a customer and relate to them on a personal level, rather than a strictly professional level. And that was really cool. Megamus, you got any thoughts and comments on this?
Not so much on that. Nice. Ooh, train.
Yes, I live right next to the railroad tracks.
When we get to the spouses, I'll have more on that. As far as what anyone does, you know, with their collecting, and don't let other people stop you from doing what you enjoy doing. Society's changed. I mean, before it was the nerds, and you know, you collect toys, this, that, and the other. And now, you know, it's socially acceptable, and it's only getting better in that aspect. But I never really let it bother me, so it's not that big of a deal.
Honestly,
who cares what someone else thinks?
You think the and I'm gonna call it the San Diego Comic-Con culture. Do you think that that cons like San Diego Comic-Con has really changed the outlook on the from the public point of view to the nerd collectors like us? I mean, you got comic based movies like Iron Man and the Avengers and Spider-Man. I mean, they're making billions of dollars, you know, through not just
the movies. I don't think the convention has as much to do with it as,
well, I'm talking about the culture,
yeah, the social media. I mean, look at the shows that are out, like Big Bang Theory, this, that, and the other, and then the shows that are coming out are, you know, superhero related stuff like that, where you get the comic book collector involved. It's just what society has deemed, hey, this specific group is the one with, let's face it, they're the ones with money right now. You know, where do most of the purchases come from? You know, what age group? okay, well, those, most of that age group is in, was from the 80s. Mm-hmm. So let's focus on movies from that genre, 80s and 90s. And that's where we're at. And because, let's face it, because it's making money and it's all about money, then it's socially acceptable.
Yeah, you know, an example of that, you know, there's a TV show that, on the Fox station that I've enjoyed lately. It's a show called Dads, starring Seth Green, and they work at a video game company, and their desks, there is very clearly action figures all around their desks and on their desks, you know, and you know, it's nobody's. Everybody walks by and nobody sits there and talks, you know, why does a grown man have action figures on his desk? You know, why do you have a picture of your wife and kids? You
know? Well, I'm going to tell you, even from a, you know, I'm going to go into a real world example there where I work, there are several desks just in my area with people with, like, video game action figures and stuff like that on their desks. Or Nerf guns are popular in my lab. They like to pop each other with Nerf guns every now and then. But there's a desk there's even a cubicle that's over by like the water fountain that I frequent that has, like, you know, he's got video game figures everywhere, and it's just it's definitely, you know, it's not out of place there. And these and you know, like you were talking about earlier, and I'm gonna agree with Megavis that it's not so much San Diego Comic Con that's really influenced the change. But
I just use San Diego Comic Con culture. You know, the culture of people that would attend San Diego.
I understand, Comic-Con. But it's really you know, I would have to give credit to stuff like the Marvel movies. You know, all the way back to, you know, X-Men and Spider-Man, when those were coming out, and, you know, to some extent, Transformers, and it's just, when we hit that point where CG could be convincing, and, you know, we went from superhero movies being like the old, you know, Superman and Batman movies that were cheesy, and, you know, terrible one-liners, and to them being convincing, yeah, but to them being convincing, and, you know, looking like they can actually be there, they can actually do doing what they're doing. You know, you don't say, you know, I can see the ropes. it's sort of made that medium more mature into mainstream media. In general, and which has reached a lot wider audience, because, you know, the comic book audience was so small, and once these busted past that into, you know, everyday life, it's made it easier for collectors to, you know, say, yeah, I buy action figures, and no one really thinks, no one thinks about that as much as they used to.
No, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of people that look at them for investments, comics and even action figures as investments. And now we're talking about, we're changing something as a hobby into an investment. I'm, you know, and it's actually a serious thing. If you go to New York,
some,
I mean,
people
there's,
have
there's
stores.
There's brokers for comic books.
Yeah.
Some collectors even turn their hobby into a store.
It happens.
Mega toy thing.
It happens. How else can I afford to buy more?
There you go. I think, yeah, we probably all do that too.
Oh, absolutely. But I go back to what I said. It's about money. I hate to say it, but that's what it is. The social stigma is it's not there because it's profitable. Yeah, and if it's profitable, and, people go, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, a few years ago, my family was going through a hard time, and it was like, I was actually, we were possibly going to lose our house, and so I was contemplating selling my collection, so I started piecing it out, and I could have gotten a a fair chunk of money out of this collection that's just sitting here. And it's you don't realize how much money is on the walls. You know, people think is, you know, plastic figures that, you know, oh, they're open, they're not worth anything. You know, that old stigma of collecting, yeah. Like you have to be keep everything MISB. But no, it was like I started pricing stuff out, seeing what they were selling for on eBay, and I could have, you know, made a good chunk of money. Luckily, I didn't have to sell a bunch of my stuff, but that's what actually got me into a mode where I did clear out some of my, like, Unicron Trilogy stuff to make room for stuff, because I started realizing I was running out of space. But, you know, yeah. You make a good amount of money with these, you know, plastic figures standing on the walls.
Well, as a matter of fact, what you said actually occurred. I got to the point where we were getting tight on money, and it's happened a couple times. And I'll, you know, pick a certain, you know, I want to keep my G1, G2, maybe some of the G2 stuff I'll get rid of. And so I, you know, pared down the collection a little bit. And to be honest with you, Toys has paid the mortgage more than once. They've paid it. So it is possible. It's very possible.
Well, three examples for me. You know, back in 2006, when I had over 2,000 action figure, 2,000 Transformers, and my entire apartment, our entire apartment looked like right behind Megamus's head there. I mean, that's the way our apartment looked, and it got to the point where I didn't have enough room for anything, and we needed to pay some other things off. And I sold a good chunk of my collection. I sold down to right at 100, I believe, and got almost $15,000 out of all that, and was able to pay off a lot of bills. And then my wife and I took a really nice vacation to Cape Hatteras. And then a few years later, I had actually rebuilt my collection to a good degree. And in 2010, I was able to, I needed to buy a new car. And I bought a used car, paid for it in cash. I paid $5,000 for a new car, new used car, paid for it in cash, made from entirely toy sales. And then just this past year, you know, I've had to go through, like Sideburn said there, I went through my entire collection and kind of calculated up how much it costs, and sadly, it's less than $10,000. You know, I was able to sell my Brave collection and pay for our wedding. You know, so, you know, I've paid for a really nice vacation, and I've paid for a car, and I've paid for a wedding from the sale of toys.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like an investment in one aspect.
It is. Know? It really is. I don't buy them for an investment, really.
No, we'll buy them to enjoy them, but...
Right, but here's the kicker. Here's the thing.
The Energon kicker.
If people... we're not going to get into that. If people collect solely for the investment value, then when these reissues come out and everything, these people are devastated. Because they planned on the wrong thing. You can't do that. So
I wouldn't plan to send the kids
to college based upon my collection.
Yeah, kind of like what we were talking a little bit earlier about Devastator.
Exactly.
Reissues.
You don't want to fall into the Beanie Baby craze.
No. Exactly, because you know you put all your eggs in one basket, and all of a sudden, you got nothing. So, you still got to enjoy it. There's got to be a reason behind it. If you're doing it strictly for the money, there's better things to invest your money in.
Yeah,
but it's always nice to have that thought, you know, have that little safety net to sit just in case.
Sure it is.
As long as the market holds.
Yeah, and it's rough when you got to sell them too, you know.
Well, yeah. You know, and I know Weird Wolf. He said he can't wait about the reissue versus the vintage versus reissue. What I have to say about that, because I have so much G1, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me at all, because I don't look at that as an investment. I mean, it's helped. Don't get me wrong. They've helped, but I don't look at it as an investment. I enjoy the G1 aspect. I like the way it was made back then. And yeah. if they make improvements on it, well, guess what? I'll buy the new one, and I got two.
There you go.
I mean, so
you got a brand new one you can open.
I don't see the negative in it. When they reissued Fort Max, I didn't see a negative.
Yeah.
I did, however, see problems with the new Fort Max, which I did a review on, but that's beside the point.
Oh, what kind of problems did
you see? You can actually take a G1 Fort Max, put it on a scale, take the reissue, put it on a scale, and the reissue is lighter because the plastic is so much thinner.
Oh.
It's in, they've had nothing but stress marks, quality issues, but it's just not made as well. It's just they cut corners, you know, and it showed. I think at one point they wanted to hurry up and get it out, and it wasn't ready.
They had to. I'm sure they had to get it under a certain or get it down to a certain price point before it would be acceptable to sell. I guess to the market. You know, I mean, I think once you get to a certain price point, you know, for especially like a reissue vintage figure, I mean, the size of Fort Max, I mean, you're probably looking at, you know, if they had made it full thickness and everything, you're probably looking at close to $600 for a toy.
Well, I'm not saying it's that big of a difference. And for anyone that doesn't have a vintage G1 and you buy it, you're not going to know. I mean, it's not. You'll see if you look, you're going to see some stress marks where a brand new toy shouldn't, stuff like that. But as far as the difference in the thickness and the plastic, you're not going to see that. You know, only someone who's, you know, OCD like me would notice that. So it serves a purpose for those people that can't get one, who couldn't get one. They have the option of getting one now.
Yeah, they actually have an affordable option to get one.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and it's put you this way. As popular as that character is, I don't think there's enough G1 ones out there in decent condition to even, you know, satisfy
fulfill the
market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But getting back on topic, and I also want to reiterate, you know, as we are broadcasting live, if you have any comments or questions, you can tweet us at TFYLP. Or comment on the comment section on YouTube, and I'm monitoring both. So if you have any questions or comments on what we're talking about, feel free to let us know. And if you're listening to the downloadable version, you can also go to our message board forums on tftalk.net or our Facebook group and let us know your thoughts on there. We'd love to hear from you. You know, so much is about the negativity of you know, the outsiders looking in to us as collectors. You know, we've talked about, you know, being poked fun of by our coworkers. You know, I particularly, even though I was was known as Mr. Transformer pretty much at the job that I had for 10 years. My job was not the type that I could actually, you know, had a desk or anything that I could carry a Transformer around or display one or anything. I mean, basically people knew from me hearing me talk about something or mention something or even seeing my phone. I mean, my wallpaper on my phone was almost always Transformers, you know, or my ringtone. So, and being made fun of is part of, you know, being a collector. Don't let it bother you. It's going to happen. But let's talk about the positive things that can come from it. We didn't actually, before we go to that, let's talk about family, not just spouses or our friends. You know, what about family? Do we have friends or family that kind of frown upon our collecting or kind of look at you in a negative light? Any of you guys have that?
I think some of my siblings, I'm the youngest out of my brothers and sisters.
Me too.
And so they kind of look at me a little strange. They don't straight out tell me that, you know, but they kind of insinuate that, you know, what the hell, you're grown, you're 38 years old, and you're still playing with toys. not in a bad way, just kind of maybe a pick and on way towards me. But I mean, it happens. I also have a few friends that are similar, not many, but most part, like how you say, how everybody knows you as a Transformer guy. A lot of my friends know me as the same as that guy, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I don't have as much of a problem, me personally, with friends. You know, most of my friends are a geek in their own right. You know, they have their own. They might not be Transformer collectors, but they have some kind of collection. I know a friend that I've met through my wife, her and her husband, they collect knickknacks. In their living room, they have Star Wars toys on display. And then you go down to their basement, and they have Detolfs with all kinds of Star Wars play sets and AT-ATs and everything down there. And it's, like, really awesome, you know. So I know people like that gets it, you know. And I apologize, I forgot to mute my phone. Insane Galvatron is actually on his way down, so there he is.
Quick, everyone, hide.
Yeah. Talk about friends and family real quick amongst yourselves while I mute and we get set up.
All right, now we can talk about him.
Sitting right here.
Oh.
Dang it.
No.
Does anyone else have any significant other spouse who is either a collector or approves of your collection?
Well, you know, my wife, she does for the most part. Sometimes she still kind of doesn't understand, but she's just supportive of me, and that's one of the things that I like, so she supports it in her way. Sometimes she'll even pick something up for me. She might go to a comic book store with my stepson and my daughter and all, and she'll see something transform, and she'll just buy it for me, you know. It's pretty cool, you know. It really helps to have a supportive significant other. It really makes it a lot more enjoyable when you're at home.
I agree.
But what about friends and family, though, other than spouses? I mean, like, do you have any friends that either share in your hobby? Obviously, I mean, I know.
Oh yes.
I know some of us do, but I mean, friends that collect something else that you know that they don't look down upon you because they're a fan of something else themselves.
Well, I actually have a nephew that collects Transformers, and I'm the one that's the cause of that because he saw my collection when he came down to visit, and he's like, "Those are cool!" So he's been buying a bunch too.
I know. Whenever I was staying with you and everything, I took him out on a hunt for some Brine figures one time.
I don't have any friends that. Well, I don't have any friends that I get
local.
To see regularly.
Local friends.
that collect. I have plenty of friends to collect. Because, you know, I've been online for 15 to 17 years. So I've made a lot of friends, you know.
And you're family. Old.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. You know, I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. You know, I get joy out of playing collectible card games and video games and stuff like that. So I tend to make friends with those kinds of people. So the friends I see on a regular basis, they're those types of people. They don't collect, but, you know, we play Magic the Gathering. We play video games, you know. And so they don't... They might poke fun at me, but it's from a... You know, we're all really good friends, and we make fun of each other's differences because that's what friends do, sort of thing, and not, you know, trying to, you know.
Well, there's a difference in that, you know. Just
trying to, you know.
Razzing someone. As
yeah, we're just
really
playing around instead of, putting people down. So, in that regard, you know, I've never really had anyone that's been through, don't throw stuff, Duran.
Yeah.
He dropped over Magnus's penis.
He's trying
to configure the toy so that it has a penis.
See?
If you two can't behave, we're going to put you in separate rooms.
I was playing with
I don't have nothing to do with this.
I was playing with Bone Crusher and accidentally knocked his hand to the side, and he
he's thinking about you and touching himself.
Look at that face. He's got that
Kung Fu grip.
He's like really getting excited about where his hand landed.
Yeah.
But as far as family goes, my little brother is not very big on my collecting, though he is a dork. He thinks I waste too much money on toys.
Didn't he used to be a collector, though?
He was the kid that grew up and decided toys were for kids. So about when he was, I don't know, 16, he gave all of his Transformers to me.
Wait till he's about 26, 27, yeah. And he has disposable income, and he starts getting that nostalgia bug, and he looks back, and he's going to be going, hey, you still got those toys I gave you?
unless he decides to blow all that money on chicks and cars instead.
Become more of a sports fan and, you know, and stuff like that. He got a lot more serious when he got older. But
I'm a sports fan.
I don't want to.
But no, it's funny that you mentioned that. It's funny that you mentioned about disposable income because, I mean, to me, that's part of the key, you know, and it just happens to go in cycles. And that's why, you know, 80s and 90s is now coming of age, is when you get secure in what you know, where you're at financially or, you know, with relationship or whatever. And then you start leaning towards other things, and what's one of the things is maybe collecting. And that's why the individuals in this, you know, generation that we're in are collecting so much. And like I said, I think that's because of the money is why it's becoming socially acceptable.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone needs a hobby. You know, some people make their hobby sports. Some people, you know, make, birdhouses. We collect action figures, but it all has the same, you know, it's all the same sort of stress release.
Mm-hmm. You know. Absolutely.
Well, it's like my parents, you know, my mom, she thinks it's cute that I collect toys. My dad absolutely thinks it's deplorable. He thinks it's the biggest waste of time, a waste of money. My mom, she still thinks it's a waste of money, but she is also amused a little bit by it. But my dad one time, a couple years ago, asked me, you know, why do you collect toys? Why are you still playing with toys? And I'm like, I don't play with them per se. I might fiddle with them. But, you know, I said, my dad, he's really into woodworking. And I said, you really enjoy woodworking. I said, the release that you get from woodworking, the joy that you get from woodworking, that's the same kind of joy I get from my collecting and curating my collection and the thrill of the hunt. I mean, he absolutely loves going out and looking for new tools that he can use to make, his wood carvings with. And he absolutely loves that. I'm like, if you get that, then you should get my toy collecting. I said, it's just my hobby. You know, some people love cars, you know, and they pump thousands of dollars into their car. I don't do that. You know, that's not my thing.
That's what I was about to say. It's kind of a thing I had with my wife when early on we were dating. Is I told her I collected toys and collected action figures, and she thought it was a little strange. And, you know, until I kind of pointed out what we were talking about here, that it's just another hobby. I mean, you know, she mm-hmm. thinks, oh, it's a waste of money, spending money on toys. And I'm like, okay. Actually, I've kind of turned into a business with them, you know, buying and selling and trading. You know, it doesn't end up costing me as much as it could have. Because I found ways to make it profitable. And, you know, I said, if I had, like, a big four-wheel drive truck outside that I was pouring thousands of dollars into, she would have seen that as manly. But yet, I've got action figures I can pour just as much money into that I'm going to enjoy, and that's, you know, somehow childish. Of course, you know, eventually, you know, she had to accept that's what I am. So, and thing is, I collect Transformers. It's my hobby, but it's not who I am. My identity is not in Transformers. You know, it's
Shane Galvatron.
Well, that's my online username, but it's not my identity. You know, like, it's like if Transformers didn't exist or if I had to get rid of them all, I would still be me. I just would have to have a different hobby or no hobby at all. And I think that's where the mistake comes in. People think, well, it's their toys.
Your
it's
hobby
their children.
Accentuates you.
Yes.
It isn't you,
it's
but it's
something
it
I enjoy. It's not me, but it's something I enjoy. You know, there are lots of things I could enjoy if I weren't enjoying Transformers. You know, just because some person enjoys spending tons of money on a four-wheel drive doesn't make them any better than somebody who spends tons of money on toys. It's just all how you want to spend your disposable income and what you enjoy. And she's, you know, she finally came to terms with it. She's okay with it. You know, she's, at times I think, would I've been better off to marry a woman who's a bit of a geek or into this kind of stuff. But then I realized, like I said, this isn't the entirety of my life. And I'd rather have somebody who's got a commonality in all the other areas of my life. And it'll to make for a better relationship. Perfect example, now Daron has shared this on the podcast before, so I'll use him as an example. There's nothing new here, I'm divulging on him. His ex-wife took an active interest in Transformers, but they had like no compatibility in pretty much any other area, and was why they had problems. His new wife gets along with her way better. She's also a geek, but she's into the Star Wars stuff. She couldn't really hardly give a flip about Transformers. Knows nothing about them. And he gets along with her 10 times better. So your spouse, to me, doesn't have to be in the same hobby as you, as long as they at least just accept it. Because let's face it, our hobbies should never be our identity. You know, it should just be something we enjoy. That's why you see people get devastated when they have to lose something or give something up, because they've made it their identity. So then when they lose it, it destroys them. And I think that's a healthy approach to any hobby, as well as having family and friends are going to accept it.
Well, I think, me personally, I had a growing experience, you know, back whenever, back in 2006, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had that big sell-off where, you know, I got like $15,000 worth of Transformers sold. And, you know, while we was able to catch up on bills and pay for a really nice vacation, it was a growing moment for myself, because I had over 2,000 figures, and Greg is one of the few people that actually got to see it whenever it was in its glory. And I had Transformers everywhere. I had so many figures that I had bins full of toys that I could not even display because I didn't have the room. And I was coming to the point where Transformers was me. You know, it's like, you know, I would go to work simply to make money to pay my rent, pay for food and gas and toys. And that was it. You know, and everything I did was Transformers or else, you know. And because my ex-wife, you know, she was so into it too, you know, she was all on board. She'd go to every con with me, partly because she didn't trust me, but you know, but she would also go to every con with me and want to go to all the panels and stuff. And you know, it's like becoming Daron Land and Weird Wolf were just, you know, I was Weird Wolf. You know, and now I kind of use it as a joke, but, you know, parting with, you know, whenever I sold a bunch of those figures, and a lot of those were very sentimental pieces to my childhood. My original G1 Sandstorm, I won a spelling bee championship in sixth grade, and I used the money from that to buy my G1 Sandstorm, and I still had it, and it was complete. And whenever I sold a big portion of my collection, that was one of the figures that I put in there. And it absolutely destroyed me to sell pieces of my childhood. And it just, you know, it was a growing moment. You know, I had to get beyond the fact that, hey, these toys aren't my life. You know, I will survive beyond these toys. And, you know, it's come to, you know, to the point now where there's figures now that I don't want to part with simply for you know, memento sake, but there's I've got less than five on my on my hand that I would part that I would not part with ever again. But the rest of them are all expendable because they're just toys and they're replaceable. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, just kind of so we have a video podcast now. This was one of the earliest kit bashers I did back in 07. Put flashing lights on the movie Barricade.
I like that toy.
Yeah, see, I added flashing lights. If you look at the
video. I sold him.
Well, I kept him for this reason.
So did I.
And also, I don't mean to break up the momentum, but Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. Ah, Ripper Snapper. Ouch, my wallet next Friday.
There you go.
Thank you. Unicron, I heard you get ready to say something a minute ago.
I just want to jump back on Friends a little bit. Here in Houston, I live in Houston. It's a huge city. There's millions of people here. And we tend to have a really strong... Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm from Louisiana. Okay, the Astros suck. The Texans suck. I don't care less about them. I'm a Saints fan, okay? We have a really strong local group here that collects Transformers. And man, they're just a great bunch of guys to get together with. And we put on a little local show every once in a while. I'll say the guy, and I think you actually might know him, Daron, is Michael Garcia.
Yes, I bought a MicroMaster off of.
Yes, he's a great guy, great acquaintance, and it really helps when you have guys, local people, that you can really get with and help you further your enjoying experience and collecting of Transformers, you know. And he helps us out a lot and does a lot of stuff for us, for the local collectors also. And it's just a blast when you get together with other collectors, and it's just amazing.
That's why I love our... we haven't had one in a couple of years because can't seem to agree on a time and place, but whenever we have our Kentucky meetups, you get Sidecutter from Captured Prey, you get Megamus, you get... Insane Galvatron and me and Zal will come up from Tennessee and we'll have all kinds of people in this thing, and I mean toys. I mean it's a mini convention and it's awesome.
Well, especially because of Megamus, because he's a dealer, so he has tons of toys.
Well, so is Captured Prey.
But he's got all the vintage toys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how many states can honestly say they have Mega Toy Fan and Captured Prey attend their get-togethers?
We need to do it at your house again, Megamus.
One state.
Yes.
We need to do the next meetup at your house again, because I want to go through your basement and buy some more stuff.
You can do that. You know why? It's not in the basement anymore.
Oh, well, I'll go through wherever it is.
It took up the garage.
Oh,
the whole garage.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then and they always make the joke.
Consequently, he keeps his car in the basement now.
I was going to say, you always hear the joke about how people will leave their $20,000 car in the driveway and fill the garage full of their junk. Well, this is one of those few exceptions where the stuff in the garage might actually be worth more than the car.
It's funny you should say that, because the truck and the car are sitting out in the driveway. So, yes. And unfortunately, the wife, who's probably going to listen to this podcast, is going to go, yeah, that's right. Then I might have to move everything out.
Back to the basement.
Yeah.
It's a man cave. Basement's better anyway.
It's like, well, we're not doing anything with that bedroom. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Yeah, the kids really don't need to sleep in there. I mean, they can sleep on the sofa. I mean, seriously.
Well, after hearing this, Megamus might be the one on the sofa. His half of the bed can be filled full of toys.
Yeah, I made and that's one of the things, to kind of segue onto our last little piece of this segment. Megamus was wanting to talk a little bit about spouses and their hobbies and how we deal with that as well. But, you know, one of the concessions that whenever I got married to my wife now is that, you know, my collection would not grow beyond this room that downstairs. You know, I have a hobby room, and well, this room that I'm in is the office, and I do have some toys in here, but they're not, you know, a whole lot. But I do have a collection room where my Transformers are displayed, and they're displayed nicely. You know, they're not just, you know, sitting on, you know, here and there and everywhere.
They're not like my room where they're just looking like a Toys R Us exploded.
Yeah, your collection room looks like a Toys R Us exploded. I mean, literally, boom.
Yeah, toys everywhere.
But I mean, a pile in the middle.
Well, what happens is I'm always resorting it, but I never get around to finishing, and then I decide to change it up again. So there's always a pile in the middle of the room where I'm removing stuff from one shelf to put somewhere else. It just never gets removed from the pile. Sometimes the pile rotates. The stuff that's in the pile now won't be in it in 6 months, but there'll still be a pile there.
But you know, I
sounds familiar.
I made that agreement, you know, that you know, my hobby would not overtake the house, and you know, and we're both cool with that. You know, the rest of our house, and if you did not come downstairs where I live, you wouldn't know that I'm a Transformers collector, honestly, because there's no Transformers anywhere else in this house. And but you come downstairs and you're like, oh wow. I've had a lot of people that's come by and visit that, you know, that are mutual friends of my wife and I, and they come down and they're like, wow, I'm, you know, I didn't realize Transformers were still around in this way. I mean, they knew about the movies, but they weren't familiar with the toys, and they're like, this is really nicely done. I really like this room.
While the displays are really nice, if they're a lot classier than that first collection, it's not nearly as impressive.
Yes, I know.
I mean, he had Transformers RID and Armada wallpaper, as in mint on silk card toys tacked to the wall. You could not see what color the walls were. It was like wallpaper of toys.
Well, I had Beast, the end Beast of Beast Machines Wars, too. Beast Machines, RID, Armada, Energon, Cybertron, and a little bit of Universe.
Well, when I first saw it the first time, Armada had just come out. So you just had like the first couple waves of Armada, and then it was all Beast Machines.
And I had them loose, too. So, you know,
yeah,
it's like
two of everything.
Yeah. I mean,
but it was wallpaper. Think about that. Wallpaper.
Well, my brother, you know, talking about, you know, family members, my brother is a Hot Wheels fanatic. And at one time, he had a room that was wallpapered with Hot Wheels. And he sold all those a number of years back. He started back collecting now, from what I understand. But he sold that entire collection, and I'm wanting to say he got close to $10,000 out of that collection.
Wow.
Out of Hot Wheels. You know, so. Sideburn, you have you don't have a spouse yet, but how would you go about handling a spouse that that is a collector herself? This should be interesting.
If I married a collector, I don't know. I guess we would have to, you know, we would have to come up with how we were going to handle that.
Two of everything. That way you can have one, she can have one. Otherwise you'd be fighting. No, it's my Rhinox. No, it's my Rhinox.
Well, she might not necessarily be a Transformer fan.
No.
Can't
make as many jokes that way, though.
I just say, you know, I really hope, you know, I can get that lucky. Marry a nerd. Find a nerd. I think a nerd is probably going to be the best bet for me because, you know, I'm a big one. But, you know, I could say that from my own personal plans, just from, you know, my plans when I, you know, finally get my own place is to actually, you know, have it contained to its own room. You know, like you already, like you have agreed to with your wife. You know, I plan on doing that even when I'm living on my own. I kind of want to have my own, you know, gaming room / collect room / this is where I go to unwind and nerd out and, you know,
AKA man cave.
Stress release.
So,
yeah.
So basically, you wouldn't have it to where people would come over and walk in your front door and see toys sitting on your end table and your coffee table just all over the place. You know,
hey,
just
the wife's
like
out
toys
town,
all
I can
over
put
the
wherever
place.
I want.
Not unless I don't plan on
hey,
unless
wife
you know
home, it won't be that way.
Unless I you know, was open to something up while watching TV, you know, or whatever, and left them there. But
that's,
you know,
exactly how they end up there in my house.
I want to have a nice,
it,
you know,
it there.
Aside from a few figures on my desk right now and a bunch of Beast Machines that a cat knocked over, I like to keep them on shelves and keep them, you know, well displayed, and I try to keep them well managed, but sometimes it's, you know, it's like a 2 or 3 day ordeal to dust every single Transformer and shelf in my room.
Believe me, whenever you get glass cases, you know, with doors on them, you still have to dust them, but not nearly as often.
Yeah, I look forward to the day. Right now, they're all just open air. But, you know, I got, unfortunately for like the podcast, my fingers are all over here. So you don't get a backdrop of figures from me. You just get a TV and a bed. But
you need to work on that whole girlfriend thing and have her wear a bikini and lay on that bed so we have some nicer scenery.
Yeah.
By the way, my wife's not a geek. She's not a Transformer fan, so she doesn't listen. So I can get away with saying those things.
Anonymous phone call.
Unicron, how's your wife? Is she a collector or something? How do you two get along and deal with each other?
We get along pretty good. She actually kind of likes these little, I got one right here by the computer, these little copper or brass, whatever, pencil sharpeners. I got these things all over the house in vehicles and whatnot, and that's her little thing that she kind of likes to collect. So, but she really doesn't have an issue with my collecting, and I really don't have an issue with hers because hers is a lot cheaper hobby than mine is.
dare you say what her hobby is?
Well, like I said, she just likes the pencil sharpeners. That's her thing. She buys these things. Hmm. I guess they're copper or brass. I don't know, but we got quite a few of these around everywhere. This is a little beetle here.
Little knick-knack?
Yeah, little knick-knack things. And like I say, her hobby's a whole lot cheaper than mine, so I really enjoy it because it gives me more money to spend. So, but yeah, we get along good.
So, what is her reactions whenever you want to buy a new toy, say a Fort Max?
Not very good because I still don't have a Fort Max at the moment.
I think you just answered that.
So you ain't spending that much on it.
No.
I remember whenever I had Brave Max back in the day when RID. I don't think RID had even, yeah, it had come over here. It was just starting to come over here. And Car Robots released the Japanese version of Brave Max. And BBTS got them in. And this is way back whenever they had the $4.99 flat rate shipping. I don't know if any of y'all remember that. But they had the $4.99 flat rate shipping. And Brave Max was like $160. And, you know, I'm like, this is like dirt cheap, you know. And I paid, at that time, that was the most I'd ever paid for a single toy. And I did it kind of without telling my ex-wife, you know, well, she was my wife at the time. You know, I just kind of ordered it. And one day this enormous box showed up at the door. And she's like, how many did you order? I'm like, just one.
Well, it's a funny story because I remember when he showed me that toy because I had no intentions. The Korean version was available at this time, which was only $130. It was a little cheaper, but it's identical. And you know, I didn't have a Fort Max as a kid. Never saw a Fort Max other than in the toy catalogs. I assumed he was about Metroplex sized. I had no idea how big the toy was, and here I am, an adult, 20 years later. I no clue. And I go over to his house, and he shows me that Brave Max. I'm like, it's the size of a small child. And so, of course, when he showed me that, I instantly had to go to BBTS to order one.
You still have it, too.
I still have it, yes.
Yeah, that was one of the figures I actually parted with back in the day. Simply for the reason that I wanted Fort Max, and Brave Max just didn't quite scratch that itch.
I just love the Headmaster on a Headmaster gimmick.
Yeah, yeah.
I now have that toy three times. I have two of the Fort Max reissues and one Brave Max deal. And I love it. I'm not getting rid of ones because I have the other. Because I just love pulling the head off, transforming it, and pulling the head off, transforming it. That's like one of my favorite G1s just to mess with.
One day I'll get one, eventually. I got to get better at sweet talking.
Well, what you need to do is kind of counterbalance it. Save up enough money to buy Fort Max and save up enough money that's about the value of Fort Max and buy her something of equal value, like a nice ring, you know. Nice dinner at a nice restaurant, you know. One where you have to wear like a little bow tie and have some snooty guy come up to you and say, yes.
And then they park your car for you.
Yeah, in the Harvard Yard.
Nice.
But Magnus, how about you and your wife? How do y'all get along, and does she have anything that...
I was trying to figure out how to explain it, because I was thinking about your situation where you had a wife that was a collector, and now the wife that you have now, she's okay with it, but she's not. And then I think about my wife, because when we got married, I didn't collect. And it was only until after that I started collecting again. I actually pulled my old toys out of the closet and decided I wanted to get more and see what more and how many can I get. And then it became of can I get them all type thing. And my wife, she loves it. She likes going out there. She'll go out there and find the toys I'm looking for. It doesn't matter. She's really very much into it. So she the whole aspect in it, and if it was up to her, the whole house would have them. She doesn't care.
Wow.
She's just the complete opposite. She doesn't care.
That's like the most supportive wife you could ever have.
That's exactly correct.
Like my wife has accepted it, but she doesn't really necessarily support it. She's not going to go hunting for me. She's not going to buy me any Transformers for Christmas or my birthday. Mainly because she knows anything she buys, I'm either going to already have or not really want.
Unless you specifically give her a list.
Yeah.
But even then, that runs into the other thing we were talking about, because in her endeavors to find stuff for me, one of the things is comic books. She inadvertently got me the same copy twice. And that's what got me, that's what clicked, and I was like, maybe if we had like a checklist or something that, and then we could do, we can go on, but that's for another topic. But it was because of thinking of her and how she was trying to help. I mean, she knows the characters, she knows, not as well as most of us, if not all of us, but she tries, she really likes it. And she's the one, like when Alternators came out, and I started buying Alternators, and then when the Japanese ones came out, and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to have the Japanese ones. Well, I'll go ahead and sell the Alternators. And she's like, why? Get them both.
So you're like,
that's how she is.
She's you're like, you don't have to argue with me.
Now, what's amazing to me about this story is at first I was, going to point out, if he didn't, that she probably doesn't mind, because he's made a business. He's a dealer, so he actually, his hobby probably pays for itself and makes money. Or at the very least, pays for itself. But yeah, but from what you're telling me, it wasn't like that at the beginning, and she was still that supportive. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it had nothing to do with that. This only came about because of, it was by chance, really. To get to where I'm at is just by chance. It's just finding collections, and it was just easier to buy them all than to pick and choose what I wanted. And then you turn around and you trade them off or you sell them off, and on TFW, I got to be the highest seller there, and it took off. It actually took off on its own. But she's been supportive of me the whole way, whatever. But even if it wasn't making money, she wouldn't care. She wouldn't.
Now, my first wife, whenever I got back into collecting, we were already married. We'd been married like 2 years. My mom called me up that one day and said, hey, we've got some of your old Transformers in this box. You want to come get them, or we'll just sell them in a yard sale. So I went and got them, and that blast of nostalgia pulling those out of that box. And the thing is that she was just as enthralled with them, not to the extent of, the memories that I had attached to them. But I mean, she was totally on board with me. It's like, I at first I asked, do you mind if I, display these combiners on the top of this entertainment center? No, go right ahead. Those are pretty awesome. I like looking at them. And it just parlayed into, what he described earlier. but my wife now is just almost
wallpaper.
Yeah. My wife now, though, is the complete opposite of that. If it got
keep it in the basement.
Yeah. Even if I started wallpapering the walls with things, she would have an issue with it. I know that.
Even in the basement?
Even in the basement. There's going to be limits, and setting limits as collectors is really important. And, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, and that's the whole reason we're talking about this tonight, is, you know, new collectors and young collectors, a lot of these questions and a lot of these topics that we've tackled tonight, you know, dealing with friends and family and coworkers and spouses, how do you deal with those as a new collector? And, you know, basically, you got to adapt and, you know, and be yourself. That's the most important thing, is be yourself. You know, if you are a fan and a hobbyist, then don't let other people, you know, tell you that you can't collect something because, you know, it's for kids or it's stupid. To them, it's stupid. You know, if it's not stupid to you, then don't let other people dissuade you from it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say, you know, be unashamed. Yeah, I've had pretty positive experiences as a collector, you know, because I simply chose not to feel like I was, like, you know, hiding some dirty secret from everybody. You know, I tell people I collect, you know, Transformers, and it's my hobby, and, you know.
Well, see, you have a unique perspective on this. On this whole situation, out of all of us, I'm not sure about Unicron, but out of all of us, we all grew up in an age where toy collecting generally wasn't a thing that people did. Grown adults did.
It wasn't acceptable.
It was really frowned upon. We got out of toys. We grew out of toys, just like, you know, a lot of people did, and we went on and enjoyed other things. I was a huge science fiction nerd and sports fan, you know, and that's a weird mix, I know, but, you know, that was my thing. I didn't collect action figures or anything like that, but that's what I really enjoyed until I found my original collection, and that drew me back in. Whereas you really never got out of Transformers. You've stayed in them all the way from your childhood into your adulthood. But the difference is that your generation is, you know, being an adult collector of toys is actually an acceptable thing now.
Yeah, it definitely got, you know, as I was maturing as a teenager, it definitely was becoming more of a normal thing, you know, in the world. I wouldn't say right at the beginning it was normal. Up until that point, the internet is really what sort of brought that out. It was I've told the story several times. You know, I didn't even know you could collect toys when I was that age until I found Transformers Homage. And met you guys and found out, you know, and met Duran and found out you can collect. And I saw pictures of his collection, and I was like, you know, I got my few pristine RID figures and a couple of Beast Wars figures that had survived my childhood and stuck them on a shelf. And I was still pulling down and play with them at that time, but I was sticking back up on the shelf when I was done. And I really started to...
Ended because of an error.
Yeah, hold on. It should rejoin. No, it's my connection.
Oh, internet.
I have to wrap this up here in a minute. See, it did this before, and
it's like the plugin uninstalled itself or something.
Yeah, it ended earlier before and did this exact same thing. I do apologize.
He's back.
Yeah, I do apologize. Take
two. You're a land. Come on down.
Cyber and True, take two. Go again. Yeah.
Last thing we heard was you said you would take them down, you'd fiddle with them, and then you'd put them back on the shelf.
Yeah, and all I said is, you know, the nerd has sort of become a more powerful being in this day and age, you know, with technology becoming such a big sector and industry and stuff like that. It's a different world. It's not that.
And there it went again.
Were they watching television whenever you came in?
I don't recall.
Got plenty of good calluses on your hands.
Yeah, my internet connection is really starting to crap out here. So
I lost you again.
Let's kind of wrap this up real quick, and then we'll end it.
So yeah, it's definitely become easier for me. I mean, you know, I've been collecting since '96, and I was a kid in '96. So
awesome. Well, guys,
so was I.
I graduated high school in '96.
Yeah.
I was 21 in 96.
I'd been graduated for 3 years. Yeah.
I'm not telling
I was in college.
I was in fourth grade.
Yep,
I'm not telling any of y'all how old I was.
I was in fourth grade.
But we want to go ahead and wrap this up since my internet connection is kind of going up and down right now. Guys, it's been a great show. I want to remind people that we are running the Justice Iron Paw giveaway once we reach 100 subscribers. We're going to go through and choose that one lucky subscriber. And, yeah, look for some comparison pictures between Giant and Hercules really soon.
Whole green Giant.
So,
yeah, I'd really like to see those.
Yeah, we're going to stick them in the light box here shortly and take some pictures.
The other advantage of having another fan lives close, he chose one Devastator. I chose the other, and we can do comparison photos.
Yes.
Nice.
But, you know, also want to remind people that it's important to subscribe and share. If you really like our show and enjoy our show, let other Transformer fans know that you love this show and approve of it. That's the only way we're going to get the word out. Follow us on Twitter at TFYLP, and also check out tftalk.net for more TFYLP and Transformers content. Insane Galvatron, you got anything before we wrap?
Ho, 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 Green Giant.
About you, Unicron.
Love this toy. He's been in a display case for like the last year. I barely messed with him, so he's so fun. I got him back out. It's like I rediscovered him.
It's like a new toy. Yeah. What about you, Unicron?
Not y'all. Just I hope everybody enjoyed it, and y'all keep collecting.
Definitely. Magmus?
Nope. I think we said it all.
Awesome. Well, inside burn, you closed off there a second ago. Is there anything you need to add real quick?
No.
Every time he talks, he kills the podcast. So we're gonna embargo him for speaking.
Yeah. want to remind also everyone, we broadcast Tuesday nights and Friday nights at 8 p.m. You know, for the foreseeable future, that's going to be our schedule. So check us out here on YouTube every Tuesday night and Friday night at 8 p.m. for Transformers for your listening pleasure. This is Weird Wolf. We'll see you next time.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.